Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Tall Paul with the Permaculture Central Blog Talk Radio Show. And we have our good friend Joey D'Elia on the line. How are you, Joey?
Very good. How are you?
Doing great. So tonight's topic is an interesting one because, you know, you and I talk about permaculture every week, but we're now tonight going to talk about the grow biointensive method, which is, well, it's the way you kind of described it the other day. Permaculture is kind of the closet, and then within the closet you can hang up your different items of clothing. So like, there's different methods within permaculture. Permaculture is a design science to help, you know, create your and improve your different systems. And this biointensive method is one of those methods to improve the systems. And so like years ago I was in training to be a certified clinical hypnotherapist, the very first day our master hypnotist trainer said that imagine a quiver that's on your back, and what we're going to be learning throughout this course are different techniques to help you work with your clients. So each time I teach you a new technique, that's like an arrow that you're going to put into your quiver, and the arrows are all there, and when you're working with the client, they're there depending upon what they need, because not every technique's good for every situation. So that's the same thing here with permaculture, is everyone's site is different, and there's many techniques that, like, one site might have desert water, like very, very little water, and another site might have so much water that it needs a completely different technique. And again, so tonight we're talking about this grow biointensive method, and Joey has started to implement this on his Tipuana Farm permaculture demonstration site in San Marcos, California. So, Joey, tell us, how did you get involved with this? And I know you're very excited.
I am. And look at the dog even got excited right then. So I got into it because I was talking to my friend about us working here on our little farm, about thinking about calories and how to, you know, how many calories are we going to plant? Not like what particular vegetables we're going to plant or you know, starchy crops or whatever. It was just like how many calories. Started thinking a lot about calories, and then so I was talking to my friend, and then he said, "Oh, I got the book for you." And I had heard about the guy, John Jevons, and up in Willits, California, and how he's doing all this intensive gardening, but I didn't ever connect all of it. And then he's like, oh, this book, it breaks it all down. This guy's put a bunch of research and hard work into coming up with all these numbers and all these spacing and all these methods to like get these amazing yields out of a very small square footage, this very small footprint, and he got it super detailed. And I said, "Well, give me that. Let me see that book." And so he brought it over, and I showed my friend Matt, who's living here with us. I showed him the book because that's what we've been talking about a lot, is some method to do it, and ideally there's somebody out there or there's something out there that's already detailed a lot of it. And sure enough, in this book, the How to Grow More Vegetables and Fruits, Nuts, Berries, Grains, and Other Crops Than You Ever Thought Possible on Less Land Than You Can Imagine. And that's the book by John Jevons. And, we got super, even more excited than we were. We got more excited than that, than we were. And
I mean, is that possible, Joey?
Before this, you
literally think about permaculture 24 hours a day. You sleep it, when you are sleeping, you dream about it. And you wake up each day, you're like, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And so now you have this new technique, and you've, instead of talking about it, see, this is the difference between Joey and a lot of other people. Is a lot of people will read, like me, I'll read books and things, but I mean, Joey will literally take it and he will do it. He puts it into action. And not just in a little way, but in an official way. And he does a lot of testing. He's not saying this is the technique, but he wants to see for himself if it's going to work for us in our scenario here. And but so far, I mean, it's really exciting. So tell us what you've done.
Okay, so far, we did a little YouTube video already, and we did a soil, garden bed preparation that's recommended in the book. And we're basically doing everything it says in the book. Because let me say a little of this too. Before what we did is why we're doing it and why we're really interested in it and why I'm interested in it as far as as Tipiwana Farm goes. Too is as a permaculture demonstration site. We're surrounded by we're on a little rural property. There's rural properties around us, but not like, I mean, the urban setting is right down the street. There's urban houses everywhere, and those are the people that actually come to see what we're doing here. And the idea of those people, the idea of doing the grow intensive method is something that could be taught to the people where there's already a book, that they made a DVD, he's got 30 years of experience already testing the method, there's free YouTube videos, there's a lot of resources that have all the stuff in it, so that when we teach it and it's totally applicable to small yards. I mean, you can make a farm out of it, a mini farm out of it too, and grow so much food, but the idea that you can take these methods, get the book, get the videos, get the information hands on here at our Tipiwana Farm, and then go home and do it. That's what I'm like really excited about, so that people could come and get their hands dirty here, and then be able to keep reading the book and studying more, and we can have like all the bases covered there. And so far we've started the garden bed. We started another garden bed today. We already had garden beds, but like we took some of them apart. And now we're doing this method in some of the other garden beds, because we have some kind of garden beds in one way, and then there's some in another way. We've got like, I think now that's like four different garden bed things going on. This is going to be the fourth kind of garden bed type thing we have going on. So we did the double dig, which is a part of the method, is you're double digging these garden beds. And really getting the soil get some air in the soil, not tilling it, just double digging it. And the whole idea with this method, the grow intensive method, biointensive thing, is you don't exert insane amounts of labor. Now the hours you might be in there for a good amount of hours, but you're not breaking your back.
And to start with, yeah.
Well, and the whole time through it, you're supposed to be really methodical and be conscious of how your body is working, your body mechanics, your economy of motion. I don't know what they haven't thought about in the sense of just now. And the thing here is we're just talking about garden beds, and we're not talking about water design. Permaculture is a design science. We're looking at the whole picture. This is a little microcosm. This is just like what it
within it. Yeah.
This is just what this is. It's not the whole enchilada, but it's definitely a really fun part that we are going to have fun with, and hopefully we're going to share that fun with a lot of people when they come here to learn about it. And we have some demonstrations set up, because what's so fun is, we have a lot of plastic trays to germinate seeds and all these different things. Well, in this method, you build your seeding trays. You build them, and then out of wood, and you have specific sizes. They have it all specific. You follow the directions for certain reasons. There are certain sizes. You build them. You hand water everything. There's no irrigation systems except the hose or the watering can for your starts, for your seedlings. And almost everything is germinated from everything's germinated, of course, but the seeds, everything's put into seeding into trays to grow as seedlings to transplant into the garden beds. So we've made some seeding trays. Oh, and the another cool thing is, for you don't use potting soil. You don't buy the idea is to try to create with the grow intensive method is create a whole process on your farm or in your backyard or something. You grow your own fertilizer, you build your own soil, and when you're making compost, and then you're blending the compost with your topsoil, and you're making a certain blend, and then you put that in your seeding trays, and so in your propagation trays that you've made out of wood, and yet there's this whole kind of cyclic process. Cyclic meaning it's a closed loop, and that's what you got going on, and that's what it's constantly about with this method. Over the 30 years that he's been working on it, is just trying to close as many of the loops, you know, as possible, trying not to bring in too many inputs. In the beginning, getting into it, taking some soil samples, which you can get some little kits to take soil samples. Just at your local nursery, you can buy kits that take soil samples, or you can actually take dirt and get it sent to the lab. It's not very expensive, usually like $25. They'll give you an analysis. Maybe you might need some help reading it sometime, or the internet now can help you read almost those kinds of things too. You start to amend the soils, try to find out what's deficient, and then work towards this. I mean, you're getting intense. It's called the biointensive method for a reason, because you're taking a serious approach to growing your vegetables, because within the grow biointensive method, there's some pretty nice claims on the yields that you'll get. So some big yields potentially. There's some talk of 200 square feet, you get 330 pounds of vegetables. That's enough to feed one person. And it's all within a certain grow season, I think 6 to 8 months. No, 4 to 8 months growing season. I'm not positive. I have to look it up again. But the idea is that it's got a process. It's got directions. There, you can follow them, and you can teach them, and you can experience them. And there's a lot of little nuances that are fun to learn, and you actually are learning something about how the moon works, how the soil works, but you learn it in little doses of information, and they all build on each other, and it becomes a very passive method at the same time, because it's very methodical and laid out, and everything's spaced a certain way for a certain reason. Part of the intensive method is putting the plants together really in a quite tight way in these garden beds. You're paying attention to them a lot because the idea is that you hand water them. I don't know that everybody can do that, since, you know, unless you woke up early in the morning and watered, and then that people, if you've got to go to a regular job, and I can imagine, I'm thinking already of some different irrigation methods that are pretty nice, that give a nice pattern of like rainfall type of irrigation. They're called MP rotators, and they give a real nice, they actually form droplets that are like raindrops. And that's kind of what this watering, the specific nozzles you use on the end of the hose to water the beds, they're supposed to be like that too, just very gentle type of watering. So I think, yeah, anyways, Paul, you've been watching us.
Well, the one thing, you know, and most people know this, is that you're not supposed to walk on a raised bed.
All right.
And so they have a neat technique, you know, as you build your raised bed and you work in the garden, they go ahead and explain, Joey, the how they get around that.
Right, right. So the bed, when you're like double digging it or you're working on it to do it, do something to it, you stand on this, you take a piece of wood, like a piece of plywood, pretty big one, like 5 feet wide, six or 5.5 feet wide, and probably like 3 feet deep. And you put it on top of the bed and you stand on it so that you don't make footprints. You don't put your full, you don't compact the soil, basically.
It displaces the weight evenly across the bed rather than in specific spots.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's cool. We're just having a lot of fun experimenting with it and working on it and putting things so close together. Because you know what's interesting? I just thought about this, that we're in the garden. We're like, whoa, we plant a lot of things close together. This is cool and stuff like that. But in the food forest area, when I study Jeff Lawton's method, you cram the stuff in there. The nitrogen fixers, the hardy pioneering species, you put them a lot in there close together and you let them go. You know, you let them grow and do their thing. And then in this method, now I'm thinking about it, is you having the same, I'm having the same fun, like pushing the norms or pushing certain constraints in myself, you know, however my mind works, and going for I like to trust people. I know that might sound a little wild, but like Jeff Lawton, for example, I trust his 30 years of experience, and I'm going to try his method. And I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to do it how he says. This guy, John Devins, 30 years of experience, wrote a whole book about it. He's really into it, and he claims that, you know, we're actually going to go visit his garden or his place in October because we're so into it. So I'm gonna do it. They got 30 years of experience. And that's something I was thinking about today when we were talking. We were thinking about the show today, and I was thinking about this grow intensive method. And it was something I wanted to talk about too, was there's people out here doing a lot of hard work, and they had a lot of years of experience. And what I've noticed in our culture, in a lot of cultures now, is there used to be a thing where, in the past, where you'd have a teacher, or you'd have a master. It's still really prevalent in like a martial arts, where you have a sensei or you have a master of this, and you learn from that person, and you're basically you learn from that person forever, until you pass that person up, basically. It hasn't migrated much out of the martial arts anymore. And because, you know, everybody goes to school now or does whatever, and they have all these different teachers everywhere. There's no, and not everybody picks this just like one kind of something to learn and really follow and do anymore. So part of what I was thinking about today was my method for me to learn really fast and to really experience something is to really trust what they're saying and say, okay, I trust that. You have 30 years of experience. Let me be the student. Let me be the beginner. I'm going to throw out whatever I think I may know or may not know, whatever. And let me just listen to this older person. Or it could be a younger person, just the experience or the heart that they've put into something or the effort they've put into it, and look at it and seriously take it in and go for it. And I think that's something that's helped here with my, well, in my life and in the farm and in the pursuits that I, that I take on, is I do that quite often. Somebody's going to teach me something and then I just listen and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen and then do. And then maybe there later there comes some modifications and I get some feedback from the teacher or just feedback from the experience itself of doing exactly what they said. Then I get feedback as time goes on, and then maybe some things change, or there's something with our climate that's a little different than the other, than the somebody else was in this instance, somebody else was living in. So that's something that I think is really important. If you really want to learn something these days, especially now that we're moving into, you know, non-academic, let's say, studies where people are getting more into gardening or more into like permaculture, which is like the most academic thing right now for permaculture is getting a permaculture design certificate. You know, you can go to some colleges and get some kind of little bit of permaculture education, but nothing super structured. So you're basically left to learn from some of these masters that are around and then go and physically do it and find out what happens.
Before you were even into permaculture, you were studying to be an arborist. You know, you learned under someone, you know, you work daily with this person who, well, you can share this experience because, you know, you lived it, but basically you wouldn't know what you know about trees if you hadn't spent that time with this gentleman that you talk about very fondly. I mean, I think, from what I recall. And but now you've taken, you know, you become certified, there are people who are certified that might not be in tune with the trees because anyone can pass a test. But, you know, when I look at the work that you do with the trees, you know, it's just like beautiful. And now you are teaching other people how to do it. And, you know, they're getting it. And I see those light bulbs go off when you teach that. And so all these methods, and every gardener who is truly a master will say, I always learn something every season. There's always something new to learn. And they're willing to listen to other people as well. So, like, even on YouTube, there's people with these gardening channels. I love it because they always say, oh, this year, you know, I'm going to try this differently because last year this didn't work out for me. And there's always a test. There's always something to do. What's great about where we live is there's plenty of land. You know, like, you can do these different trials, different tests to see what works in our area. And then, but what basically you're doing is you're developing your own knowledge base and your own style, and you can take the best of each, and, you know, maybe Joey will have his book someday. Joey D'Elia technique.
Yeah, I think we'll just have permaculture fun.
Well, that's, I hope. That, for me, if you don't have fun doing it, I don't know. It's just, why not have fun while you're doing it? You can do both. You can work hard. I mean, all you have to do is watch Joey in action. He works hard. He sweats every single day. He gets down with his hands and does the work, but he has fun. There's always a smile on Joey's face.
It's, huh?
Right?
Right? I'm pretty smiley. It's good, yeah. And like you said, Paul, that teacher that I had, it was super fortunate. His name is Chris Tuvey, and it was at one transition time in my life. My first daughter was about 10 months old, and my wife and I were like, I had this one job, and I didn't really want to do it anymore. And then my friend called and said, hey, come work with me in these pruning trees. I said, okay, that sounds fun. So I went up there, where my friend lived, and it's where I grew up, and I met this guy that I kind of knew, an older guy that I had kind of known growing up, but not really known him. I just knew him as an artist. Well, turns out he works with trees, and he's been doing it for 30 years. It's always this 30 thing is interesting, but he's been doing trees forever in that area, and I had no idea. And so I started working with him. Well, he's an artist. He would do big murals on the side of like big walls or buildings and stuff. And that's what he loves is art. And but he for money, he would prune trees, and he had learned to do it. And so he took this holistic approach to pruning the trees, to caring for them, and he would do them artistically in a way of pruning them, but making them still look, still keep their natural forms. He would teach me all these different things, and he'd tell me. I still remember so many things he would say when we were up in the trees working with them. And so I took all of that, and then I started to just study more stuff.
And it's to do it without cutting corners, meaning...
Oh, right. He was crazy like that. It was like, it didn't matter how much time it took.
Right. Do it right.
It was to do it right. When we cleaned up like super well. We pruned the tree. We didn't make bad cuts. Like, we didn't leave something that was bad. We repaired it, or we tried to make... So amazing to learn from somebody like that right in the beginning, because it sets you off on such a good path if you're really interested. See, I get super interested in
right. And the thing, like for you, like one of your businesses is called the Joey D'Elia Tree Care. It's the tree care. That's the part of it. You care. It's like you're nurturing it, and it's having a relationship with this environment and the trees that you're working with. And the work that I've seen, the tree work that you've done, like when you were pruning that Chinese lantern, that's a beautiful tree to begin with, but I was standing underneath and looking up. I'm like, oh my gosh, like the light that was coming through, and it totally transformed the tree into a work of art. It was so beautiful. All right. And so with the biointensive method, so no matter what we do, so whether it's Jeff Lawton's Food Forest or it's the biointensive method or whatever, don't cut corners. Try to embrace that technique or square foot gardening. You know, there's a reason why they're telling you to do it this way. It's from all these years of experience, you know, and what we have here, the luxury of having help to try these different methods. We have room to try the different methods, and it's just adding like the arrows into the quiver, all these different techniques and methods which we can use not only here on our site, but as we go out to our community and we look at the different people that we're helping and serving. We're very involved now at the city. It's very exciting what's happening, and I can't remember if we've talked about that, but anyway, it's not just our farm, but we're influencing, you know, we have people that come to our site for our lectures and things, but now we're starting to go out and help people. So with this technique, I really think that it's great that we're not cutting corners, that we're going to embrace it for that area that we've dedicated to that technique and see what happens. But I definitely think that eventually there's going to be a hybrid area. We say, okay, well, we really see that this works. You know, I love this about the biointensive method. But what Jeff is saying over there and this other technique, that's awesome. And, you know, what we've noticed is that, you know, we have all these worms. Let's maybe put more worm castings or something. Who knows what's going to come of it? Right, Joey? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, you don't know until you just... That's yeah. The good point you're making too is you practice it. How the prescription is, you know, you practice it, you do it, and then you know there's that saying where the student becomes the master, and you know that's like a lot of dedication and practice, but it's the natural flow of things for things to evolve. And when you take something and really take it to heart and try to and practice it, you can do it and have some amazing outcomes. So I think when we have the, how do I say, when you have this going on where you're practicing things, that's what I wanted to say too, is I have a friend, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I have some friends, yes.
Yeah.
That is enjoying this too.
Yeah.
With me. And let me tell you, if that doesn't make, I mean, you get people that are as excited as you about something and maybe even a little more excited. If I'm not thinking about it at some point in time, this biointensive method right now, because that's what we're into. If I'm not thinking about it, Matt's thinking about it. And if I'm doing something else that's not, you know, practicing this method, then he's doing it, or vice versa. And so we start even learning faster now because he's thinking about it, he's reading it, and he's going to understand something different than I am. He'll read it something a different way, or he'll catch something, and then he'll tell me. And I didn't catch that at first, and then he tells me, or I caught something. We're playing off each other. Now it's accelerating our learning. That's putting a whole new adventure in it for me, because a lot of what I had been doing before was just alone. I would get excited alone, kind of. And of course, I take my wife and my kids on along for the ride, but they get excited about like soccer and stuff. And I think my girls get a little excited about Justin Bieber, stuff like that. But
well, you do too.
All right.
Anyways,
they.
I know what you're saying. So like together, it's just so exciting.
And then you came along, Paul, mm-hmm. and then you saw what we were doing here, and then you started getting excited with me about what we were doing, about building the classroom, about helping me, you know, buy things to get the classroom going and move it forward faster.
To actually have a demonstration site rather than me, Joey's place. I really believed in this as a place for people to come, you know, a place that where people can learn. And because Joey, really, that's one of your biggest strengths, is not only doing it, but caring enough to actually share that information and knowledge with other people. And it takes, you have to really stand here and do it. I mean, we could create a video. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. It might help, but I really think it's not until you actually plant your first seed or dig your first double dig bed. You don't really know what it's about. You can read about it, you can see it on a video, but I mean, until Joey and Matt actually did that technique, I mean, that's what put the magic into it. That's what put the fire into them that, you know, makes it so much fun.
Right. And that's totally what's happening. He just made some, today he was going to make, Matt made some soil for our propagation trays. So we'd already made compost, because we're always making compost, but or have some compost going. And so he took this. Actually, he went under this giant mulch pile in the back. There's this mulch pile in the back, and the water like just stayed underneath it from the winter. And very interesting place over there at this one part of the property. And when you take a big pile of mulch back, underneath there's a layer of humus forming. On top of some old clay soil, there's this black humus layer growing basically. And he went and scraped it up to use it to blend with some just dirt to make like a good, nice topsoil propagation tray soil to grow the seeds in. And it turned out so good. And so I got home from tree work today, and he was working on that. And it's like so nice and fluffy, and it's so cool because we made it, you know, with the processes of nature here instead of like buying a bag of potting soil, which I've done many a times, and or even I've even bought perlite and mixed soils and stuff. But now we're just going with what can you do with what you have, or what can you make, and how can you make it, and that's fun stuff when you can start to gain, you know, have a little bit of independence from buying everything. Like this, you know, usually you're buying these little, they sell a lot of these little peat moss, those little jiffy plugs, and you put the seed, you know, soak them, put the seed in there. It's got the little cover over the top and stuff, and that's fun for a while. But what's the next step towards like having something? Let me tell you this too: these little building these little wooden trays and making the soil and stuff. When you look at it, it's very aesthetically pleasing to see these sprouting trays where you're germinating all these seeds, and they're these little wooden
boxes. Reminds me of the Yellow Deli.
that's making me hungry now that you're talking about it.
Uh oh, wow.
Maybe we can go later.
All right. So, anyway, this is a rustic, very beautiful, handmade trays to grow your starts in.
Yes, and you make them, or you know, we're thinking about today. I was having all these ideas. I was thinking, oh, we'll have a class where we learn, you know, we're learning this method, but then we can have a class where you just come and we make the trays that you take home with you. Because not everybody has saws and all the screws and materials and everything, but it's a lot easier when you're with a bunch of people making it together. It's a fun experience, and then you can take something home that's really neat. And let me tell you this, even if you didn't put your seedlings in it and stuff, the boxes, the little things,
right,
look so cool.
Even if, like, you used it in bed to eat breakfast with. It's like a tray, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like that you put on your lap and, you know,
yeah,
a little breakfast in bed tray.
Yeah, you can put it on your coffee table and have little magazines in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can put little potted plants in it. It's really, and we make them, what we're doing is we're making them out of old fence planks. So those are cedar most of the time, old cedar fence planks. And so we kind of cut them and change them. And man, oh, they look so neat. So that's been so much fun. And we've just gotten started. Wait till we have those little neat looking trays that we made out of reclaimed materials, growing our seedlings in soil that we amended with the compost that we made. And then imagine when you collect some of your seeds from your initial harvest, whether you bought the seeds or not, but you collect some seeds from that harvest, and then you're putting them in. Now you're going, you know, the circle's getting more connected. It's just, then you're growing the seeds that you collected from the year before and putting it in the trays that you made and the soil that you made. And this is something, what I love about this is that it's something that somebody could do in their suburban home. This is not, they can, you know, the things I just talked about are some things basically almost everybody can do unless you live in like an apartment. Or in a condo with, you know, just a cement backyard. But you could even do this method if you lived in those and you had a community garden. Meaning if you don't have one in your community so far, you should get active in your community and start something where people can have gardens that don't have space to do it at their at where they're living. And that's a great service to humans, because humans eat food. And if you can get more connected with your food, where it comes from, how it exists, then that's a great thing.
Well, yeah, something I'm sitting here realizing, you know, like our show, we talk a lot about fun, and we talk a lot about just this creative process, and we don't talk a lot about specifics. And I don't think that's what our message is. And I think that's what our whole lives are. We've kind of been victims of a corporate world where things are done for us. So they make the bread, they make the ketchup, they make all this stuff, and we buy it. So you want a TV, they buy it, you know, they make it, etc. And we've lost our power. We've lost our ability to be creative and to be close to the earth. We've lost our connection to actually doing things and being part of nature. So like when we go out to the forest, we live in our city, and then we have to drive somewhere to go see nature, especially in California. People elsewhere, you know, you're lucky to live in nature. But we don't necessarily live in nature. They have to create nature. They bulldoze everything down, put in these huge tract homes, and then they bring in trees that don't even grow here naturally, and they create this artificial environment. And I think with this, you know, permaculture and gardening or any of these methods, it's really a calling back to who we really are, to take our power back and to enable ourselves to be part of that co-creation aspect of who we are, who we're, what we're meant to be. And so, like for me, you know, I bought the books, because that's what you do. You buy books about gardening. Oh, I guess I'm a gardener, huh? I have a gardener, you know. I have plants. You know, I went to Home Depot and I put them in my yard. But it's not until really that you, I mean, you can even throw the books away, but when you start spending time in the garden and you're planting the seed, and like permaculture, you observe nature and you see how it's done in nature. You know, where is the sun coming from? Or, you know, like, wow, look at how that tree is so happy. I wonder why that tree is so happy. I haven't touched that tree, you know, and kind of figure those things out. When you start to participate in growing your own food and participate in this whole beautiful life, we're participating in life rather than just observing it on the TV. I really think that's what we're trying to do, is help inspire everyone who's listening to do something. And if you're already doing it, help others to do it. Because, you know, recently, Joey's always been doing something, always, okay? And he does it on his property and all that, but now we're moving, branching out, you know, and we're still definitely working here. But by having people come to learn, they're not necessarily able to do it at their house yet, but they're actually getting involved. And now we're starting to go out to our city and get involved in the community and our local community, you know, other cities around us. I think that this is really special. And it's what I've seen in the other people that we meet, is they are excited now and they want to come back and they want to get involved. And every event that I go to, I keep seeing the same people, and then they bring new friends. And I just, that part, if anything, whoever's listening, please, whatever it is, just do it, because it's going to enrich your life, and you're going to learn about joy. You're going to learn about happiness, and you're going to find new friends that you never thought were possible. Because what we're doing, there's no religion involved, no politics. There's so little. I mean, unless you're a diehard, you know, this is how you plant a tree, or this is how you do that, you know, you probably need to breathe a little and just relax and come out and have some permaculture fun with us.
That's right. And then definitely.
And when you eat, I can't tell you the joy and the excitement and the energy I had the very first time I ate broccoli that I grew myself. I cut the broccoli from my garden and I walked into my house and I ate it. And it literally, I had never experienced energy like this from food. And it wasn't just because I was proud of myself. That was part of it. But this is where there's several dimensions to us. And I mean, my own inner guidance, I heard, eat the food from the land that you grow it on. That is going to help you. Eat the food from the land that you grow it on. And every time I do, it sends this a whole different type of energy through me that is wholesome, and I can't explain it. You got to do it yourself. I mean, what do you think, Joey? There's a total difference between the food you eat on the land that you grew it on to a grocery store, even if it was grown a couple miles away.
I think that's the transition time that's happening now. Is we've gotten to the point where you can't trust companies. I don't know that you ever could, but they don't care about you. Like, they don't care about your health. They don't, you know, and the government's too big to too complicated to really care about your health and what gives into all your food and how all those systems work and all that stuff. It's just too complicated now to the government itself. And maybe not that they ever did, really, because they just used to advertise cigarettes with doctors' uniforms on and everything in like advertisements and stuff. But the idea is personal empowerment. Now it's about people taking accountability for your actions and for saying, you know what? It's important for me to eat, to understand what food is and where it grows, how it grows, even if and taking physical, actual reality steps and using your hands and reconnecting with our birthright, with what we are. We are like our bodies go back to the dirt, you know, when they're done, and you feed them with food. And you breathe air and you drink water. These are those very fundamental, basic things. And we've been separated from the food part. We still drink the water, but we don't even, that's another situation. Sometimes we don't even think about the scope of, in Southern California in particular, or in general sometimes, of where all the water, how the water gets to your faucet. How the water gets to where it is. And like Paul was saying a while ago too, is that so many things are just given to you now, and they're just, you know, you just get the package here, you get the package there, and all you do is need to trade paper for it. You just trade some money for it, and you get it, you know. Well, what about that, what about bringing a little wholeness into your life where you're actually connect with something that's an actual integral part of your existence here on Earth, is the food and how it takes water and how it takes sun and how it takes nurturing, and you get to eat from it. And then that, what Paul was just talking about, that experience you have is primordial. You've just connected yourself with one of the most intimate experiences a human has, which is sustaining the human body, like through sustenance. And now you're having that dynamic experience that's been going on for so long, but we've been separated from it. And we've forgotten the power that actually comes from it, from growing your food and have it, or even catching your own food, however you want to say it, and eating it, and that power of you being able to sustain your life, but that we've forgotten what that power is, and that power brings about, it dispels fear. And whether you think about it that way or not, you have to have the experience. When you're surrounded by food that you grew in a garden, you don't have the same fears anymore, because your body knows that that's all food and that you're surrounded by it. Something in you knows that that's security. And when you're secure and you have less fear, you innately begin to have more love. And when you have more love, you have chemicals that are released in you that feel really good. And as we approach this, and if we're going to work hard at it, you're going to start to feel that more and have that experience. I know it's getting kind of deep on that, but it's a real life experience. Food is more than you can. Just think about the feelings you feel when you're hungry and you go buy some food and you go, oh my gosh, I was so hungry, and how good that feels. Imagine being surrounded by the food growing in its like natural forms, and you're taking the whole experience now. You're seeing it as a plant. You're seeing it in the ground. You're seeing it grow, and you know it's going to be food, and it's going to taste good. If you haven't had your homegrown food before, picked fresh, then you're missing out. But you taking that power back, and for yourself and for your family, is a great step. And that's what I'm hoping with this grow intensive method too. And this is a circle right now that we're getting back to. Is I hope to give people that experience. And through practicing the different methods, that I'm looking for something that we can easily, because I'm totally taking it in and enjoying it. Is it as a book, a DVD, things we're used to. We're all used to studying books, and now we're totally used to learning things either on YouTube or on DVDs or something. But they relate totally to that primal food growing eating experience that I believe actually in the end result is health and love. And we don't even talk about sharing, because if anybody's done any gardening, most of the time you end up with surplus and you can't eat it all, and you didn't pay for it. So you kind of, the first thought is not to sell it. You know, that's a different thing. The first thought is, who can I give this to? Because you never paid for it. So there's something different going on there. And so now you want to share it. And then the people are like, what, you're gonna give it to me? But yeah, you can have it. I grew so much in the garden. I just want, here, you can have it. Okay, and then that person's affected, but they didn't even grow the food. Now they're feeling love because you just shared with them, and you're totally not asking for anything. You're not even putting out feelings, like electrical kind of chemical whatever things that you want something in return. You just want to give it away and share it. So these are experiences that I hope more and more people will have, because I think that's part of, if we want to change some of the things that are going on this planet, then these are some of the paths that we're going to want to explore and work on.
Right, and we've heard the term soul food. I mean, It's food cooked with love, but this what we're also talking about is food grown with love. And I mean, it's you might be surprised that Joe even mentions that word, love. What does that have to do with gardening? What? You know, people love their hobbies. This is goes beyond a hobby. When you start this journey into permaculture and into when you're ready to actually get out of that other system of where everything's done for you, and you could just take this leap or take this step into your own power where you can start growing for yourself. And I'm not saying you need to be 100%, you know, this has nothing to do with, you know, being self-sustaining. I mean, it's partially you can do that, but I'm talking about a completely different dimension. It's a dimension of our own self that Joey called love, and I love that, they use that word. And when we're able to share it with others and we're able to just connect with the environment that we're supposedly trying to help and be sustainable and repair, it's a very beautiful thing. And when I think about walking in the garden and looking at the food that's growing, you know, from the small seed all the way up to the, especially when it's just about ready to be picked, that those vegetables speak to you. They speak to me. They're like, Paul, I'm almost ready for you. Not yet, almost. And it's like a gift that we share for one another because I've been taking care of it, giving it water, and it's going to be taking care of me. And it's like, you know, and especially with the fruit trees, they have so much to give. So much abundance, and that's just incredible. And anyway, I don't think you know what we're talking about until you come out and see. So my invitation is come and see me at Tipuana Farm. And if you're here, you'll probably see Joey. But get out in your community, plant some seeds, do whatever. You don't even have to do anything but sit in the garden and listen, and it will speak to you. It's a very beautiful song. It'll sing.
Or just start talking to people about it. Mm-hmm. You know, just conversations about it.
All right. So we're getting down to the end here. So let's mention a few things. We've mentioned in the past Permaculture Voices. It's an incredible conference that's coming up in March. If you believe that within yourself there is greatness or greatness that's about to blossom and bloom, I am encouraging you to attend this meeting. We are all leaders. And this conference is for leaders. It's for people of all ages, of all abilities. You do not have to be the master or even near to the master to attend. But if you believe that somehow you're going to make a difference on this planet, you need to be at this conference because we're having the cutting-edge leaders come to share their wisdom, their insight, their knowledge, and most importantly, their inspiration to help us make a difference. And when you're there, hopefully you're going to be empowered to learn to what your role is. We all have a different role. And I really think that it's going to be a significant event. So to learn about that, go to permaculturevoices.com. I don't get paid to say that. You know, there's no, you know, I'm not putting the conference on. But
it's our friend, and we want to support him.
Yeah.
And he's going for it. We think it's good. I mean, all the people that are going to be there are so great, the speakers that are going to be there. We just want him to be successful and enjoy and have permaculture fun because he's going to have, if it's successful, he's going to have fun. If it's not successful, he's going to be pretty bummed. But we just want to see it all. I was talking to my friend today, and the point for me is I like people. That's why I do this. So I really like people. And I used to a long time ago think I didn't like people and I was going to run away to the forest. But I realized that that's not me at all. And I really like people. That's why I do this. that's why I'm supporting my friend Diego when he's putting on this conference. And that's why Paul does it.
Well, and but I also believe in the people who are part of it, the leaders that he has. I mean, they are cutting edge. These people they're doing the work. They're doing the research. They're sharing the word. And we need that. We need those people to teach us.
They've never been together like this before.
Never.
This is the first time that anybody's taken the effort to try to get them all together and figure it all out and make something like this happen. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
So, and a lot of you are not here in California. It's a great time to come.
That's true.
So it'll be next March 2014. Go to permaculturevoices.com to find out more about it. Joy and I are here every week on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We invite you to come in and to give us a call. Ask your questions. And it can be specifics.
Not too hard. Don't stump me.
Oh, come on, Joy. Yeah, you're getting... It's too easy for you here. I'm too easy on you.
Oh, boy.
All right, and so go and visit Joey's website. So it's fruittreeforest.com. You can see his videos there. He also has a YouTube channel, which you can get to through fruittreeforest.com, Facebook pages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Please subscribe, join his channels, and learn about the things that he does here.
Or give me ideas, too, if you want to see me do some other kinds of videos or anything like that, that I'm always open to figuring something else out to do.
That's right. And also, you can go to my websites, which are permaculturecentral.com and asktallpaul.com. And Permaculture Central is going to be growing soon, and I'm very excited to, like, eventually there's going to be joeydalia.permaculturecentral.com.
Oh, boy.
Or paulwheaton.permaculturecentral.com. So all of Joey's videos, I want to give him a space. He already has a space, but I'd kind of like Permaculture Central to be like a launching pad for people who don't know where they can go and get to these leaders. And if you're a leader, contact me at asktallpaul@gmail.com, and we'll get you an area there. All right, completely free, has nothing to do with money. It's just to help you. My job is to promote you as a leader, to give you the exposure and the platform to get the word out. So if you want to be on my show, I'd love to have you. Not only once, I would love to have you on a regular basis, as often as you'd like. All right? So thanks, everyone. Thank you, Joey.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Talk to you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.